Our scripture reading today is found in the book of Luke, where we've been for the last few weeks. And it's found on page 993, Luke chapter 2. And we'll be starting at verse 21. And this is the story just after Jesus was born, 8 days to be precise, as Luke often is. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 21, page 993 in the Pew Bibles. Verse 21. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ, that is, the Lord's Messiah or Anointed One. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." Well, as I mentioned at the beginning of the service, I'm really pleased that Scott Koop could be with us here this morning. We had a good meeting over the summer at Square One World Media at their offices up on just off of Henderson Highway. And it was really great. We've been supporting the work of Square One World Media for many years, and I'm sure he'll tell you all about it, but they send TV productions and internet productions all over the world in many different languages, proclaiming the gospel all over the world, and they're based right here in Winnipeg. So welcome to Scott Koop, and I'll pray for you before you preach for us. Lord God, I thank you for my brother Scott, and I thank you that you've brought him here this morning. Thank you for his heart to share you around the world. Lord, I pray that you would pour out your Spirit on our brother this morning as he brings your word, the word from you. And Lord, may your Spirit touch our hearts to support the work of missions around the world, as we have been talking about all through the month of November. Lord, we pray that his words would bear fruit in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.
Well, good morning. Well, as Pastor Urie mentioned already, my name is Scott. And by way of a brief introduction, in my working life, as he also said, I serve as the... as the Associate Director at Square One World Media in Winnipeg. But beyond being an associate director, I am also a son, a brother, a husband, and a father. I'm a son to Victor and Irene Koop. That may mean absolutely nothing to you, and that's okay, I get it. But I'm also a brother to Tom, Wendy, and Nancy, but I realize those names probably don't connect any dots for you either. I am blessed to be the husband to my wife, Natalie, for the past 36 years. I know I look plenty old enough to have been married for 36 years. She does not. She's here with me this morning. I'm really happy whenever she gets the chance to come with me on these mornings. And I am the father to two adult children, Spencer and Marissa. Both are married to wonderful spouses, and no, Natalie and I are not grandparents yet. One more thing that is actually very interesting about this whole thing is that my wife and I, Natalie and I, our very first house ever, we purchased in 1994. Yes. It was on 813 Cambridge. So like literally just half a block down the street from you. And we drove past this church all the time. This is the first time I've ever been in here. Yeah, it's good to be here. A couple of things that I observe when I go into a church. First of all, I'm a fan of this architecture, by the way. I studied architecture as a young man before God called me into something other. And I'm just a fan of a church that looks like this. So I'm quite happy to be here speaking this morning. I also noticed you do not have a clock on the back wall, which is fantastic, because I will not be distracted, and I'll simply just speak my sermon, and that'll be it. And as long as it takes, it's going to take. I'm going to trust that you're all okay with that. Now, other than just the few things that I've told you, you may not really know me at all, other than one of you sitting in this congregation. Spencer, hi, how you doing? Spencer, while he shares the same name as my son, Spencer, he's been coming here a little while, I understand. He knows both my kids very well, served with them at Bible camp for a number of years. So it's good to see a familiar face. But you don't really know me other than the things that I've shared, and that's okay. So just allow me to talk a little bit about Square One World Media for a moment. And I will get to the message, I promise. Square One World Media began in 1947 as one radio program on one station in Winnipeg known as the Gospel Light Hour. Today, more than 77 years later, we are a worldwide media ministry using radio, television, and all forms of online media to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ in seven different languages on every continent of the globe. And I wonder if those two Bible college students would be marveling at what God has done. I think they would. They'd probably be a little awestruck. Today being the morning of technical difficulties, I would have a video for you, but I don't. I can't pull it up on here. So, but we're working on a good theme here, I think. But I do want to talk to you about something, and I notice you had some kids up here. That's great. I have cards on the back table there. They're red, Square One World Media. My name is on there. Don't worry about that. But the website is also on there. And for all of the parents and even grandparents, I want you to check out our website and go to a thing called Tales from Cottonwood Trails. It's an English audio podcast for kids. It's not a video. It's not video. I think they are bombarded with screen time a lot. This is an audio podcast, and it just really immerses them audibly into a forest environment, Rob the Forest Ranger and his crazy cartoon characters, and they end up in all kinds of trouble all the time, as you would expect. But there's always a lesson from Scripture at the end. Here's what the Bible says. Here's what we can learn. And just so you know, while it is an audio podcast for kids, I've literally binge-listened all of the episodes and love it. So, yeah, it's for kids, but I think it's kind of for adults too. So, before I embark on my message this morning, I do want to quickly mention something here. On behalf of Square One, I want to say thank you to this congregation for your ongoing support of us, ongoing support of the work that we're doing together around the globe. The fact is, we simply could not do what we are called to do by God without the support that we receive from people like you. And in keeping with that, we're also a ministry that is completely dependent on the donations of churches and individuals and people like you. This year has been a difficult one. This is probably the most difficult thing I'm going to say this morning. But this year has been a difficult one for us financially. And so we've seen a significant drop in our donations for 2024. And so there's no pressure here. But as God leads you, as God blesses you, and as you have the freedom to give, we would ask you to please consider a gift to Square One before year end. All right. If you wish to follow along in your Bible, the passage is up on the screen there. And I will be going through it kind of chunk by chunk. And so want to do that. Thank you for reading it for us this morning. I'm going to start with the first few verses here. And this sort of sets up where I want to go with this. It says that Jesus is presented in the temple. 8 days later, this is after Jesus was born. He's 8 days old. When the baby was circumcised, he was named Jesus, the name given by the angel even before he was conceived. Then it was time for their purification offering, as required by the law of Moses after the birth of a child. So his parents took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. The law of the Lord says if a woman's first child is a boy, he must be dedicated to the Lord. So they offered the sacrifice required in the law of the Lord, either a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. What we need to see here is that Mary and Joseph are faithful people who follow the law and do what is right. And we know this if you're familiar with this story, even when Mary is first greeted by the angel saying, you're going to have this son. And she questions it, like, wait a minute, how can this be? But after the explanation comes, her response is, may it be to me as you have said. She's very obedient. She follows what God is doing in her life, and she follows his leading. Joseph, by the same token, when he's confused, and you can only imagine when he finds out this girl you're about to marry is expecting a child, and he's thinking, oh boy, well, it wasn't me. And he has plans to just kind of divorce her quietly. But the angel comes and speaks to him and says, Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, for what is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. So Joseph does what the angel says. These are very obedient people. And so it should come as no surprise that the law of the Lord says you have to do this purification right for your kid. And so they do. They do. The next thing I want us to get here is this thing with Simeon. And it says, at that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout. I wonder sometimes, when people write something about me long after I'm gone, will they say I was righteous and devout? Those are big words. And I think we read over them very quickly and very easily, but he was righteous and devout. and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him. Righteous and devout. So what does that mean? What does that mean? He probably is a law-abiding man. He probably spends a lot of time in the temple, and we read that, in fact, yes, he does. Righteous and devout. What will people say about us? Just as a little bit of an aside, two weeks and one day ago, we had the funeral for my father-in-law. And it was a difficult day. And the couple of weeks that have followed have been difficult, particularly for my wife and her siblings and for my mother-in-law, but for all of us. But one thing that came through at his service was the character of the man. And there were lots of good things said. And having known him for 40 years, it's amazing. Everything I was hearing, every word that came out of people's mouths talking about my father-in-law, I could nod my head and agree, yeah, yeah. No one had to lie. No one had to embellish. No one had to exaggerate on how good of a man he was. I wonder when it's my time, if people are going to say those same sorts of things. But here we have Simeon, called righteous and devout. The Holy Spirit is upon Simeon, and this is really important. The Holy Spirit is upon him. Simeon is obedient to the Holy Spirit, because we read that it says here that the Holy Spirit is on him, and has revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord, as the law required, Simeon was there. Have you ever felt nudged or led by the Holy Spirit and did nothing? I'm not looking for a show of hands. That might be a little difficult. But I have, many times. But have you ever been nudged by the Holy Spirit? You know that you're being nudged by him, and you do something, and you're a little astounded at what God does. A brief little story. My wife and I lived up north for a number of years. I pastored a church up there in Flin Flon, Manitoba. And I was also the chaplain for the junior hockey team there. The one day I had been uptown and I was on my way home for lunch. Natalie was expecting me. But somehow I just felt nudged. I need to go to the arena, to the hockey rink. And I don't know why. It made no sense. I had nothing going on that I should be going there. But I just felt I needed to go. So I went, not knowing why, not knowing what for. Didn't have a cell phone, so I couldn't even let Natalie know I was going to be late. And I get there, and one of the players is just coming off the ice. Their practice is just finishing, and he says, "Oh, Scott, I'm glad you're here. I need to talk to you." Amazing. He needed to talk to me. And what he wanted to talk to me about was, "Look, I've done bad stuff. I've not been a good guy. Can God really forgive everything? Does he really forgive everything?" I was able to sit with him, talk with him, assure him that yes, God in fact forgives everything. When we confess, God forgives. And I was able to pray with him and share about the forgiveness of Jesus. I had no idea why I was led to walk into that arena. It could be here that Simeon has no idea why he's led to go into the temple at this particular time. But as soon as Mary and Joseph come in, he knows why. He knows why. He's obedient to the Holy Spirit. And then for me, these are some of the most incredible verses ever. And Every Christmas, it strikes me when I'm reading through Luke. It says, starting in verse 27, that day the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby, Jesus, to the Lord, as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace, as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people, Israel. I have seen your salvation. The first thing that I want us to notice here is, what does Simeon do? He literally grabs a hold of Jesus. He picks him up. He takes him in his arms. It's a very physical thing for him. And he says, I have seen your salvation. Do we often think, or do we often assume, that salvation is simply something bought for us at the cross? Right? Upon Jesus' death and his resurrection, salvation. But here, salvation is absolutely the message of Christmas and the message of Advent. Simeon recognized in that moment, here is an 8-day-old infant in the temple with his parents, and Simeon says, as he's literally holding him, I have seen your salvation. I don't know what Simeon knew about what would be happening to this child 33 years later. But he knows that this is salvation. See, salvation is not simply in the death and the resurrection of Jesus, but the salvation is who Jesus is. Salvation is who he is. And that's why in John, in the Gospel of John, when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? It's not just I know what they are, or I can tell you what they are. I am those things. The way, the truth, and life. I am the way to God. I am salvation. And he was from birth. We've lit the candle of hope this morning. For me, that's an incredible amount of hope. People have often asked me, you know, if salvation is in Jesus, then what about all of those people in the Old Testament that lived long before Jesus? How can they be saved? Because they lived and died long before Jesus ever came on the scene. I said, yeah, I know, but it's very simple. You and I are here on the scene long after Jesus has appeared. But salvation is still all about Jesus. We have salvation by looking back, recognizing what Jesus did, and claiming the salvation that he is offering. People in the Old Testament did the same thing, except they just simply looked forward to what was promised and what was coming, claimed it, and are saved by that. They're saved by the same Messiah. Simeon's obedience is a good lesson for me. I don't know, I like word pictures. I like the fact that he actually got a hold of Jesus. This is Advent. What are we preparing for? Are we preparing to just welcome an idea, or are we preparing to welcome the Savior of the world? Are we preparing to welcome Jesus? Do you actually want to get a hold of him? Let me share a story with you from our Spanish media program called Encuentro. Encuentro is Spanish for encounter. Some months ago, a woman named Rosa wrote a message in the Encuentro website chat box to say that she was very desperate. Her brother-in-law had sexually abused her. And then, to make matters worse, she had made a mistake at her job that had resulted in her being fired. Our Spanish media coordinator, Heriberto, called her to see how he could help. Here's Heriberto in Winnipeg calling a woman in Latin America. How can I help? Rosa had shared that she went to church as a girl, as a young child, but she had never accepted Jesus into her life. She added, "I'm not a Christian, but I always listen to Encuentro because I like listening to the stories, and it gives me hope." Hope. After conversing a while, Heriberto asked her if she wanted to accept Christ into her life, and she said yes. Before ending their call, Heriberto asked Rosa how she felt. She responded, "I feel much better. I have a peace inside of me." You know that Rosa continues to reach out regularly to our Encuentro team for words of encouragement. I love this story. I love it because it highlights the reason that we work so hard at producing high-quality media and then diligently making it available to all the various media outlets around the world. Rosa saw the light of Christ in what she heard on the radio. She saw the light of Jesus illuminating those dark places in her life. And she knew that the light of God's word was what she needed to guide her through the difficulties and challenges that she faced. Our mission statement at Square One reads thus: "With a vision of spreading the life-changing message of Jesus Christ through media, we encourage, equip, and empower passionate Christian storytellers." And we do it. We do it so that the message of Jesus goes out. We do it so that the gospel is preached and heard. We do it so that the light of Jesus Christ is shone into absolutely every dark corner of the world that God gives us access to. We do it to see the salvation of God through Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit come to people who need it. And I don't know if you listened to the news this morning, but you don't have to listen very long to know that our world needs it. And we thank you for your partnership with us too. And we invite you to continue to partner with us as we seek God's leading to take the good news of the gospel, the salvation that Jesus offers, to the ends of the earth. In closing, please let me read 2 verses from the book of Jude. It says this: "To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen." I'd invite you please to bow with me as we pray. Father, thank you for this time of year when we can celebrate and anticipate your coming. Father, I pray that it wouldn't be just another year like every other, where the festivities happen and the trees get decorated and presents get wrapped and put under the tree. God, this is not about us or what we get or how grand our decorations look. This is about salvation. This is about you coming to save us, all of us who are lost. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the hope that we can place in you as our Savior. And I pray that this Advent season would be a time when we can recognize not only the sacrifice that you made, not simply in death, but also in your birth, to come here from heaven to save us. Thank you for the salvation you bring. Thank you for the message of salvation that you have given us to proclaim. Father, this Christmas, may we proclaim it well. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you as you share his salvation this Advent season.